Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, thank you oh so much for the awesome day you've blessed us with, and now the awesome opportunity to get back in your word. Help us now as we do that. So we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Continuing our Bible study of magazine, the word love, we'll go to 2 Thessalonians in chapter 3. We see here where Paul is finishing up his letters to the church at Thessalonica in chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men. For all men have not faith, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. And the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. And that's where we see our reference to love there, is that direction, is praying for the direction of the Lord into the work of love, the labor of love, as they call it. All right, now go to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, we see here a letter of Paul to his young protege, Timothy, helping him get established as a minister. And in 1 Timothy, let's go ahead and pick it up in chapter 6. Let's pick it up in verse 1. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but dotting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Talking to Timothy there, being his protege, teaching him to look out for those that are greedy and that are only seeking wealth, and how it can corrupt a person, as he says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. It doesn't say money is the root of all evil, but the love of money. It becomes their highest priority, therefore it becomes their God, and that is an error. When they lift anything up more important than serving the Lord, because as he clearly put it up there in verse 7, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Be thankful for what you have. If the Lord blesses you with a lot, make sure that it is used in the right way. If you're not blessed with a lot of possessions, don't let not having possessions be an obsession, where you focus on trying to receive and gain possessions, because then that becomes your God. Now let's go to 2 Timothy in chapter 1. Pick it right up in verse 1, where it reads, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Now this dearly beloved son wasn't his biological son. He'd taken him on as a son in Christ, as he calls him, and his young protege, basically. As he continues, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. Now we know that this was the last letter that Paul wrote before getting his head cut off. As it continues, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. That spirit, being the Holy Ghost, and one of the fruits of the Spirit is love, as it continues in verse 8, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. So acknowledging the love of Christ for us through the grace that he has poured upon us, back up in verse 9 there, and then now speaking of that love, once again, that comes from the indwelling spirit of the Holy Ghost. The gifts that he's given us, that love itself is the gift that we receive of him, and then we can turn around and share that with others as well. And then go on over to 2 Timothy chapter 4, picking it up in verse 1. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. That charge, he's saying, go on out there, do the job. It needs to get done because a lot of people out there are doing it wrong. And take on the task. Know that there's going to be some afflictions in the process. But make sure you're always on track. I said, make full proof of thy ministry. And then he gets into basically a clue here that he was aware that he was going to be executed and when, because it was going to be shortly. As it continues, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Those that love his appearing can be looking forward to what Paul is looking forward to here. He's been given a date of execution, maybe even the time, what day it was, and knew he was going to be killed. And he's reaching out to Timothy here and giving him that charge, saying, you're going to be afflicted, you're going to be persecuted, you're going to have hardships, just like the Lord told us. And he's reemphasizing that to Timothy, encouraging him to stay on the path, because when you stay on the path, you have what he's saying here. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. The only ones that are going to be loving his appearing are those that are ready to be judged, and those that are born again Christians are the ones that are ready to be judged. Therefore, he's speaking to the Christians, and they have that crown of righteousness that they have to look forward to when they leave this world, in whatever manner it might be. All right, now go to the book of Titus. Now, Titus was another trainee or protege of Paul's, but the letters, the way they're arranged, 2 Timothy was actually the last, but then he gets into Titus here, and in Titus chapter 2, let's pick it right up in verse 1, further teaching of subject of love. In Titus chapter 2, verse 1, but speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in charity, in patience. The aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So teaching Titus to teach others to have that kind of love, to share the kind of love that we receive from the Lord. And the benefit of that is you can be indwelt with the love of Christ and be able to pass that on to others, sharing that love, and it just gets passed on and on and on. All right, now turn to Titus in chapter 3 and verse 1. Put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work. Now, we're supposed to be good law-abiding citizens, is what he's saying here. Not riotous, rambunctious, and stirring up trouble, like we see so much of these days. Shouldn't be that way. is to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. This isn't just to the brethren, this is to everyone. Sharing that love. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Reminding us where we came from. Always keep that in mind when you're dealing with others. Verse 4. But after that the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. Focusing on, once again, sharing the love. The love that was given to us, that was by grace. Because like you said there in verse 4 and 5, but after that the kindness and love of God, our Savior, toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. By the finished work of Jesus Christ, by the indwelling Spirit of the Holy Ghost, we are filled with love, and we need to then in turn share that love with others. That's the key thing he's saying there, and that it wasn't because we had earned it. It wasn't that we were so righteous that then it was given to us and shown to us. No, it was by mercy and by grace. And we should have such mercy and show such grace toward others as well, not just to the brethren, but to everyone. All right, now go to the book of Hebrews. And in Hebrews, we see here, right in chapter 1, beginning up, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds, who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels as He hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, this day have I begotten Thee? And again I will be to Him a Father, and He shall be to me a Son. And again, when He bringeth in the first begotten into the world, He saith, And let all the angels of God worship Him. And of the angels He saith, Who maketh His angels spirits, and His ministers a flame of fire? But unto the Son He saith, Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of Thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even Thy God, hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows. And Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of Thine hands. They shall perish, but Thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doeth a garment. And as a vesture shalt Thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. But to which of the angels said he at any time, Sit on my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of the salvation? Here, the author of Hebrews is focusing our attention on the deity, the majesty, the importance of Jesus Christ. Even where he proclaims there, Thy throne, O God, identifying Jesus Christ as God, because he's part of the Holy Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. All right, now go on over to Hebrews in chapter 6. And here, a couple verses, picking it up in verse 10, where it reads, For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints, and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who, through faith and patience, inherit the promise. So we need to strive to always be fair and always be righteous in all of our dealings with everyone, because we need to look at all of our labor as being a labor of love. Back up here in verse 10 again, For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. And that's where we get our blessings. That's where we get our rewards. That's where we build up those rewards that we can use later and roll them over and use them even more for eternity. All right, now go to Hebrews in chapter 10. A couple verses here. Pick it up in verse 22. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So, provoking love, it means encouraging the expression and sharing of love for each other and for all mankind, not just for the brethren. But emphasizing specifically to come together as a church, as a family of God, and worshiping together. It's very important that Christians do that. Because he says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is. Even back then, they were those that didn't want to associate with others at all. They would be content with just saying, okay, I got mine, you get yours, and not having any fellowship or association with other Christians or grouping up and praying for each other. Didn't want to do any of that. But here he clearly puts it, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. This day approaching, he's talking about the last days, talking about Judgment Day. And we surely see it getting closer and closer. Therefore, the churches ought to be overflowing with Christians praying for each other and praying for the lost. All right, now go to Hebrews chapter 12 and pick it up in verse 6. A couple verses here. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth, every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons, for what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? This is talking about those attitude adjustments that we get now and again from the Lord. That attention getters that he whoops us now and then because we need a good whooping when we get offline. When we get out of track. When we get off the straight and narrow. We got to get back in line. We got to get back on the right track. We got to stay in the perfect will of the Lord. Sometimes a little slap upside the head is exactly what we need. And that's what he's talking about here. That chastening, that whooping that we get now and then from the Lord. And that means he loves us and cares for us, wants us to do the best that we can do so that we can receive the blessings that he wants to give us. But sometimes we get in our own way. All right, one more here in Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 13, picking up verse 1. Let brotherly love continue. That really wraps up the whole book of Hebrews there in that one short verse. Let brotherly love continue. It should be there and it should continue and keep on continuing right on up to the day of judgment and then over into eternity. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And that truly is an expression of love there. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That confidence in the Lord. An acknowledgement of how much love he has for us. That he's going to be right there with us through all the challenges that we face in this world. And to know that it's all going to work together for good. Because that's what he clearly teaches us. Over in Romans in chapter 8, we can see this where he says in verse 28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. So we love God because God loved us first. We share that brotherly love with others, continually spreading and sharing the love of God, that brotherly love, that coming together as a family, and know that he's going to always be right there with us because he says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee because he loves us that much. So let's take that love and turn around and share that love. Let's pray. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the time you've given us to be able to study your word here and find a little bit more information about the love that is available that you have poured upon us by grace and by mercy. Help us to realize the importance of turning around and sharing that love with others out there in the world as well. We truly thank you for the opportunity as we pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you all.